Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. This is Joanna. I'm so happy to be here with all of you today. And today we're looking at part two of our deep listening skills module. We're going to be continuing to look at different listening tools and also what to listen for in order to listen masterfully and how to listen for it. So I'm so excited for the call today. I wanted to, before we jump in, a couple of little housekeeping pieces. So the first is, I love that there's been so much nice activity in the Facebook group. And, I just want to remind everybody, continue to post your takeaways, post your questions there. You know, if you've got client questions coming up, please, you know, the more that, you share, number one, the more that I can track you so that I know what you need. Number two, I want to be able to answer your questions and you guys will get to connect that way. It is a really nice resource that we have. Over the last 4 or 5 days, I haven't been able to respond as quickly as I usually do. I've had a little bit of a family emergency, but hopefully in the next couple days, I'll be back on there more regularly. So that's one piece. And then the other housekeeping piece I wanted to mention is a couple of people have asked in the Facebook group about the Your Sacred Business trainings. So as a reminder, all of you as a bonus for this program have a full business building training. There's the Your Sacred Business. And then there's some other recordings as well, a bunch others. And, you know, that's for you if you want also marketing tools specifically, you know, all of that. I give that to you as a bonus and as a gift. And the question was how to go through them, you know, how to, like, really use them. And the answer is it depends on your needs and it depends on your pace. So for some of you, you're not at the point where you're ready to start looking at the, you know, specifically at the marketing pieces. It might be because you don't have a business up and running yet. You're just starting to step in and, you know, sacred depths are your first steps in. If that's for you, don't overwhelm yourself by also starting to rush through, you know, in any event, you don't want to rush through the business pieces, but especially now, give yourself a couple of months to really immerse yourself in the main Sacred Depths curriculum, practice coaching. You really, really immerse yourself in that. And then, you know, what you'll know when the time is ready. And if you're not sure, you can always ask me, post on Facebook and I'll let you know, or ask on a call. But I wouldn't jump into it right away. If you're someone who is still catching up on the first few Sacred Depths calls, catch up on those first and then start going through your sacred business. If you're someone who you have been in business and you know that you're ready right now to take in more information, you feel settled in our Sacred Depths container and you've started making times to listen to the regular training calls and you're in it and you're doing the work and you feel like now you can add the next piece on, then you should be adding your sacred business in. And what I would say is, go at a pace that feels right for you. Those modules are actually meant to be worked through one module or one recording every 2 weeks. This is about slow and steady and creating something sustainable and something well thought out. So if you happen to, you know, be a quick pacer and you want to go a little quicker, that's fine. If you go slower, that's fine also. But I'd say one every 2 weeks. If you haven't done much marketing at all, you're going to want to go through them in order. If you already have some things established, all of the titles are there for you of each call. You can pick and choose what works best for you. The other piece is, I know everybody liked that Facebook Live that I did, kind of pulling out the business and the marketing pieces from the actual Sacred Depths module. So I'm going to continue with those. As I said, I had a little bit of a family thing going on this week, so I didn't get to do it for last week's call, but I'll resume that in a few days. I'm really looking forward to it. Okay, so all that being said, let's jump back in to listening skills. So the first listening tool that we're going to be looking at today is another obvious one, but it's one that I want to really take time to unpack and to help get to the help you get to the subtleties of, so that you can operate with it and be able to listen to your clients on a whole different and way more powerful level. Whenever we listen, no matter who or what we're listening to, we are never listening with clean ears unless we clean them first. I'm going to say that again. I know it sounds strange, and then I'm going to explain what I mean by this. Whenever we listen, no matter who or what we're listening to, we're never listening with clean ears unless we clean them first. We're never actually able to hear fully what another person is saying and the layers beneath what another person is saying and the meaning of what someone is saying until we recognize that whenever we're listening to someone or something else, we come to the experience with all of our own filters and biases. We come to the experience with all of our own filters and biases, and we need to be aware of this. And all of those experiences, all of those filters, all of those biases can either help us listen so masterfully and so deeply, or they can become a major obstacle to truly hearing what your clients are sharing. Our filters and biases are part and parcel of any conversation that we have, any learning experience that we have, really any experience that we have, period. So what are those filters and biases? What does that mean? Well, our filters and our biases are the sum of all of the beliefs, perspectives, and understandings that we have about pretty much everything. And it's all based on our past experiences and our backgrounds. And because these filters and biases, and again, we all have them, no matter who we are, because we've spent a lifetime building up experiences and beliefs and learnings. So for all of us, these filters and these biases are so deeply embedded inside of us. And because they're so deeply embedded inside of us, unless we as coaches and as human beings do the work to become aware of our filters, then generally we're not aware of them. It's like they're so natural and they're so embedded inside of us that we don't even realize that we have them. But if we don't realize that we have them, we can't do a really good job of listening to someone else. So let me give you some examples of filters so that you, I think this will help you understand a bit more what I'm talking about. So your religion is an example of a filter. Let's say you grew up Catholic, and particularly if you still practice Catholicism, I mean, you've never questioned it, let's say. When you listen to other people, you're most likely listening through a Catholic filter, whether you realize it or not. That's, again, that's not good or bad, but we want to be aware of the filter. Or here's some other examples. The part of the world that you live in is a filter, particularly if you've lived in a certain area or kind of area your entire life. So when you listen to other people, let's say you've lived in an urban area your whole life. So when you listen to other people, you're listening through an urban area. Or if you've lived in a suburban area all your life, when you listen to people, you're listening through a suburban filter or an American filter or a European filter or a Southern filter. So for example, if you've always lived, let's say, in an urban environment, you literally hear information and make assumptions based on your urban filter. You may make assumptions that an area, you know, where your the place where your client lives is naturally diverse just because you've lived in an urban area and it's been diverse. Or you may make assumptions about traffic, right? Silly examples, but hopefully you get what I'm talking about that. Here are some other examples of filters. If you've been thin your entire life, you automatically move through your life and listen with a thin filter. And again, that's not good or bad, but it's about checking the filter. If that filter is unchecked, then you're naturally going to make assumptions about other people's experiences or who they are based on that filter. And something like this one, for example, especially if you're working remotely with a client and it's over the phone and you don't see them, you don't want to make an assumption about their body type, for example, right? And then say something that may not be appropriate at some point. Here are a couple of other examples of filters. When I first started working on my own, I had a business partner. When I first became an entrepreneur, I had a business partner who's amazing and a very good friend of mine. And she has a chronic illness that really slows her down a lot. It zaps her energy. And after a couple of months of us being in business together, I would start getting really frustrated because everything that we were trying to do, like it would just take her so much longer to do it, right? That was my unchecked filter as a healthy person. I knew she was sick, obviously, right, that she had this illness, but because my filter wasn't checked, even though my whole life I'd actually even lived with a mother who is ill, I would get really frustrated. I couldn't understand why she couldn't meet certain deadlines or it took so long for her to do things. And I'll share with you, you know, in my many years of coaching, I can't tell you how many clients have come to me who have had some kind of chronic illness, and they've had a coach previously, and they've just been so burnt because the coach was a little bit of like a hell yeah coach, like, let's just get it done. We can get this done quick. Go, go, go. If you're not, you know, doing this on time, it's because you're not motivated enough. Now, that may be true for some people, but that coach clearly wasn't checking, you know, those coaches don't check their filters, right, around healthy versus what it means to have an illness that may slow you down. Money generation is another kind of filter. Because you've got filters in terms of your beliefs about money or how quickly someone can generate money. If you're a business coach, for example, and you've been able to generate money really quickly, check that filter. That may not be true for everyone. If you're working with someone and they're ill and you've had an illness before and you've healed quickly, check that filter. Make sure you're not making an assumption that someone else can heal quickly. If you have a certain belief that, you know, it's slow and steady with relationships, and let's say you don't get married until you've been dating someone for a long time, check that filter if you're listening to a client that's in a whirlwind relationship and is ready to commit really quickly. That doesn't mean there aren't things to look at there with that client 100%. But you're going to be most effective and you're going to do your best listening if you've checked your own filter. Just a couple of other examples. If everybody in your family has gone to college, again, that's another filter that you listen with. If that filter goes unchecked, you may not realize that it's a really big deal that a client of yours has gone to college, because maybe she's the first in her family to ever do it, for example. So again, I've said it a few times, but I want to be really clear on this. It's not that filters are bad in any way or that they prevent you from being an amazing listener. Again, we all have filters. All of us. It's not that at all. In fact, your filters have the power to help you understand the layers beneath the layers of what your client is sharing. Your filters give you the opportunity to really get a client way more quickly than the time it would take for them to explain all about themselves or their situations to you. Your filters help you have more wisdom about situations that you listen to. Your filters are actually super, super powerful. But again, only if they're checked. So let me give you some examples of how your filters can actually help you so much. So for example, if you're a working mother, right, and you're speaking to another working mother, you really can get the struggle of, you know, how to find balance. And probably you have amazing tips. So your filter there can really help you. It can really help you with someone else who's maybe not a working mother, but someone else who's juggling many, many things, right? Your filter, your experience as someone who's learned to juggle all of those things can help with that. If you've ever lived in a foreign country and you have a client that's living in a country that's new to them, right, that filter can help you understand exactly what that client, or not exactly, but a lot of what that client is going through, right? It can help you hear deeper and deeper between the layers without a lot of explanation of that experience. If you've ever desired to get pregnant, but you have a lot of trouble getting pregnant, and you happen to have a client in that situation, your filters help you with that. But it can also help you with clients in other situations, right, who are trying and working to make something happen, and it's difficult for them. So filters absolutely can help us listen more effectively, if and only if we're 100% fully aware of them. If we go into conversations understanding that our filters are present, and if we don't take our filters for granted and then let them slip into our unconscious. It's when we take our filters for granted that we get blocked in our listening. When we take those filters for granted, we start making false assumptions. And then we stop really hearing our clients and really seeing them. And we stop hearing the important details that they're sharing with us. When we aren't aware of our own filters, and also when we aren't aware of our clients' filters, we also run the risk of coaching the what without basing it on the who. Remember, we spoke about this last week as a listening principle, the absolute importance of always coaching the what based on who is this person, right? Who, we're not going to coach the same, if two clients have the same what, we're not going to necessarily coach those the same way, because we're going to coach the what based on the who. Who is our client? What is our client's beliefs? What is their situation? How do they move through things, right? So when we're not aware of our own filters, or when we're not aware of our clients' filters, then we really do run that risk of coaching the what without basing it on the who. So again, here are just some examples of this. It's like some examples of more filters, and then what, you know, the coaching the what without basing it on the who, if we're not aware of the filters. So let's say that you're a health coach, and let's say that you have a really quick metabolism. Like, you just, for yourself personally, your whole life, you've always had a really quick metabolism. So that's a filter. A quick metabolism, for example, is a filter. If you're not aware of that filter and you're helping a client lose weight, you're not going to coach the who there. You're just going to look at, okay, lose weight. You're thinking everybody has this kind of metabolism. You're going to go from there instead of coaching the what based on the who. If you have certain ideas and beliefs, like I said earlier, let's say about marriage, for example, if you're not aware of those filters, you're going to treat any client that is talking about relationships, you may end up kind of falling a little bit into coaching the what instead of coaching the what based on the who. So what we're really talking about here is the ability to really see your clients with full clarity and not through the distortions of your filters. In other words, what we're really talking about here is the ability to really see, hear, and love your clients. In order to do that, those filters need to be checked. And I'll give you another example. This one is actually from parenting, but you so much of coaching is about communication, and I always get to improve my own coaching skills and how I look at, you know, what's going on with me and my kids. So anyway, my older daughter, Pina, she just doesn't care about schoolwork in the same way that I always did when I was a student. I was always type A, really studious. You know, the way I looked at it is that you needed to get good grades. I think, almost in an unhealthy way, I maybe derived a little bit too much self-validation and self-value from always getting good grades. So here I have a daughter who is like, yeah, she's pretty good at school, but she's just not that interested in it. Like when it comes down to it, she's just not that interested in it. And I didn't realize that I had this filter at first. And so when I first approached it with her, it was like, you know, a little bit, not reprimanding, but a little bit like, you know, this is how it has to be. Schoolwork always has to come first, you know, all the things, right? And it's almost like before I checked that filter, I started seeing her in a certain way, like maybe, you know, she's not what are some of those, like, not as ambitious or not, you know, caring enough, right? But then when I really was able to check that filter, I could just see she's got, you know, it's just a little bit different for her. For her, school is really important, but her extracurricular activities are, you know, top for her. She loves theater. She loves performing arts. And she's always just going to care about that a little, even though she's a great student, right? She's always going to care about that a little bit more than her studies, and that's great. And the more that I can encourage her there while also supporting her studies, that's going to be a much better route for her. But I wouldn't have been able to see that if I didn't become aware of the filter. So just to be clear, it's totally 100% okay if you don't have all of the same exact filters as your clients. You're never going to have all of the same exact filters as your clients. It's not possible, right? You can still totally hear your clients if you don't have the same filters. Oftentimes, we will have a lot of the same filters as our clients because we tend to attract people that are similar to us. People that are similar to us want to work with us, right? But they're never all going to be the same. So you can still hear your clients, but again, only if you do your work around your filters. Okay, so what's the work? How do we do our work and become aware of our filters? Well, number one, I'm going to give you guys a homework sheet that will help you to start It's not exhaustive. There's no way we could be exhaustive because this is the buildup of so many details from our whole lives, from our experiences. But the worksheet will hit some of the bigger ones for you to start to become aware of and start to think about. So that's number one. You can do the homework sheet and you'll become way more aware of your own filters. Number two, you want to take note of your client's filters. So you want to see how do they see the world. You want to just take note, you know, what are some of their experiences? And we'll get to this a little bit, and this is actually a lot about the second half of our call today, things to listen for, right? But, you know, what are your own clients' assumptions and biases? What are the, how did they grow up? So they may see the world in a certain way. So you want to take notes of your clients' filters because that will help you connect the dots way more quickly when they're speaking about a certain situation. If you already know some of their filters, then you're going to get the situation way more quickly. You're going to see what they see way more quickly. So, for example, if you know that your client sees the world, let's say, through a filter of growing up poor or growing up feeling like they're not getting as much of what they need, they may be having a conversation about something going on in a relationship, but you'll be able to spot so quickly that it's that old filter of not getting their needs met, not getting enough of what they need, right? Or, you know, another example may be, let's go back to the chronic illness piece. When you know that that's a filter for a client, they may be speaking about something that's totally separate from their health, but you know that they're maybe looking at the situation. Maybe it's about their work or, you know, personal relationship, whatever it is. You may know that they're looking at that situation through that filter of the chronic illness. You'll be able to connect the dots way more quickly. So we want to really be aware of our clients' filters as well. We're not going to be able to be aware of that on day one of working with a client. It's through time, through sessions, listening. A lot of times the welcome packet can help with these things, you know, asking different kinds of questions. So, for example, when I work with clients on business, in my welcome packet, you know, we look at business strategies. One of the questions, for example, that I ask in the welcome packet is what kind of marketing are they already doing? So I ask it because I need to know so I can help them with their marketing. But how they answer that question lets me know a lot about their marketing filter, right? It lets me know a lot about how they're approaching marketing, all of those pieces, you know, asking questions on the welcome packet about past experiences with things, personal information, all of that. So the welcome packet can help. And then just as the information comes through in the sessions, you always just want to take note of those filters. The third piece that you need to do to check your filters is to activate the highest level of empathy. Activate the highest level of empathy, which you can only do, you can only ever activate empathy if you've become aware of your own filters and then you're listening for somebody else's filters. Because if you're not aware, especially number one, becoming aware of your own, because if you're not aware of your own filters and somebody is reacting in a way that is so foreign to you, or you're talking about planning something that's so foreign to you, it's very hard to have empathy for that if you haven't checked the filter. Because then you're only seeing it in one way. So the Merriam-Webster definition of empathy is as follows. Empathy is the action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experience of another, of either the past or present, without having the feelings, thoughts, and experience fully communicated in an objectively explicit manner. So in other words, what empathy really is putting yourself in another person's shoes. I always, always do this. So this is vital to being able to listen well. And my clients always tell me, like, how is it, Joanna, that you get me so quickly? How is it that you understand me so well? You almost know what I'm thinking before I say it or before I even know it myself. And the way that I do that is I check my own filters, and then I literally imagine myself, I literally put myself in my client's shoes. I literally imagine myself looking through my client's eyes and hearing through my client's ears, empathy. Now, of course, we're always going to balance that out back to what we were talking about last week, is this dance between listening to others and then listening to ourselves. So we don't want to put ourselves so fully in the other person's shoes that we're not, you know, not also listening to ourselves, because, you know, again, we want to help our clients check their filters as well. We'll get to that piece in a sec. And then the other little tool for being able to really use your filters in a powerful way, I already mentioned this one a little bit, but I'll give you another example. I've really found that being able to find a similar, even if I've got different filters from my clients, if they have a certain filter that's kind of foreign to me, I've found it really helpful to be able to find a similar filter to whatever theirs is. So let me give you an example of this. I personally am not a pet person. We had a cat growing up, but it was mostly my sister's cat. I loved the cat and all of that, but I'm not like a big, big pet person. And it just so happens that I attract a lot of clients, and most of my friends are really big pet people. So anyway, because I'm not a pet person, my natural filter, when it's not being checked, is to not necessarily think of pet issues as a big deal, right? I don't mean like a pet dying, obviously, you know, even if I'm unchecked, I know that. But like little, you know, little things with pets, I don't automatically like feel, you know, big feelings around it. But when I can be aware of my client's filter and know that this is not my filter, I can use the filter. My mother has been ill my whole life, right? So I know what it feels like, even if a pet is a little bit sick but not necessarily dying. Like, I can use that filter to understand the pain of my client, even though I don't have that filter myself. Now, an important piece, and this is something that we'll look at more deeply in our creating awareness module, but when we think we're hearing other people's filters or we're using a similar filter to listen, we always want to check in to make sure that we're getting it right, right? You'll know there's certain moments where it's just like you're not exactly sure if you're looking through your own filter or through your clients. And so you're going to want to say, you know, I want to make sure that I'm getting this right. It sounds like, and then XYZ, you'll explain whatever you're hearing. So I do this sometimes with clients where I'm listening and I'm hearing what they're saying, but there's a part of me that's like, am I looking at this through my own filter? And it's not checked enough. So, you know, a great example would be like for me to do something marketing, like to put, let's say, to put together a newsletter article. I've always been a great writer, and any kind of marketing fears, they've impeded other things, but never my ability to write, right? So I know that this is a filter of mine, that it's pretty easy for me to write marketing. If I'm speaking with a client and we're strategizing, let's say, and she wants to start writing a newsletter, and I say, you know, start, you know, we kind of decide together, she's going to do the newsletter every other week. And I may say something like, I think that in 2 sittings, you can get a newsletter article done, right? I may want to pause there, or I'm listening to something the client is saying, and I'm thinking, ah, she can write a newsletter article within 2 hours. I might be thinking that in my head. I may want to check that with her, right? I may want to pause there before we fully strategize it out and say, you know, I want to make sure that I'm getting this right. I think what you're saying is that in 2 sittings, you could probably get this newsletter article done. Is that true? So, okay, taking all of this into consideration, I want you to take a moment and think of an example when your filter, any filter that you have, has really helped you listen and understand so well. Like, that a filter of yours has helped you understand another human being. Maybe it's a client, maybe it's a friend, just so quickly and so well, they haven't even had to explain as much as they may normally to another person without that filter. That's one example of that. And now, think of a time when you were communicating with another person. It may be a client or someone else, where you had a filter that wasn't checked, and it blocked you from really hearing the other person. You had a filter that wasn't checked, and it blocked you from really hearing the other person. So I'll give you an example of this. Pretty early on in my coaching career, when I was helping new entrepreneurs, you know, get their businesses up and running, I had come, like, basically a big thing that I had figured out about entrepreneurship is that when you're first starting out, most of the time, the best way to go about it, if you're coaching or whatever it is you're doing, service-based, transformational, the best way to start out is one-to-one and then move your business model to one-to-many. And the reason for that is because it's easier to take on one by one, you know, client one by one, where there isn't a start time for a group, you know, having to gather all the people, you could personalize it more, all the things, right? So that's something that I had kind of come to see over years of doing it for myself and helping other people. But I didn't realize that I had become a filter that was unchecked. And I had a client, and she was starting a new business. We were just starting to work together, and she really wanted to do – she was really called to do groups. She really just wanted to start out doing groups. Well, because of my unchecked filter, we spent an entire session where I was trying to, like, almost convince her, I would say, right, that one-on-one is the way to start out, and then at a certain point to move to, you know, to doing groups. And I didn't hear, maybe it wasn't a whole session, maybe it was like half a session, it wasn't until halfway or three quarters of the way through the session that I realized I hadn't been listening to her the whole time, that for her, that wasn't the right way to go. She had such a passion in her heart to start with groups. It was what was aligned for her, right? So in that moment, before I realized that and before I checked my filter, I had started coaching the what, not based on the who. So hopefully that will help you think of your own example. When is the time when you haven't checked a filter with a client or someone else? And because of that, you haven't been able to fully listen. You haven't really heard what they were saying, or you know, had that even that full empathy for them because of the unchecked filter. Okay, so this next piece is important. You've probably already realized it, but I want to say it in case you haven't. Unchecked filters lead to unchecked biases. Unchecked filters lead to unchecked biases. So in addition to your filters, you also don't want to be bringing unchecked biases or beliefs into your sessions. So for example, if you're thin and that's been an unchecked filter your whole life, what do you think about people who aren't? If you are Christian, let's say, whatever religion you are, it doesn't matter. What do you think about people who aren't that religion? If your parents were never divorced and none of your friends' parents were divorced and you've got that unchecked filter, what do you think about divorce or people that get divorced? Or again, the opposite, if your parents were divorced, what do you think about it? Like, what are the biases? So this is going to be part of your homework as well. To again and again, we can't be exhaustive, but you'll start to get the picture, to really take a look and see, you know, what are the, how have the unchecked filters led to unchecked biases? And you know, one of the things that's so important about this is that if we have any kind of situation where we are in a position of privilege, then it's even more important to check the filter so that we can check the bias. Any situation of privilege. So that can be about money, that can be about religion, that can be about race, that can be about gender, that can be about sexuality, that can be about education, that can be about career status, that can be about where in the world you live, that can be about being able-bodied, right? If you in any of those categories are, your filter has been one of privilege, again, nothing, you know, it's not good or bad unless it's unchecked. Because what happens with, like we've been saying, with any unchecked filter, especially with privilege, is that it can become dangerous and really lead to unchecked biases. So we've got, you know, on this topic in particular, you've got a bonus call in the membership section. And it's an interview that I did last year with a woman named Makita Pennycook, who's amazing. She's someone who's actually been through the Sacred Depths training. And the whole interview is specifically on privilege and inclusion and bias, with it's kind of centered on issues of race. But it's really for any kind of privilege, and how to really approach your client sessions, and some tips to how to approach your business so that your business is one of inclusion, your practice is one of inclusion, and so that you don't bring your biases. And again, we're all biased. It's just the problem is when they're not checked. Okay, let me pause here before we go into the second half of today's call. I know I spoke a lot, and I really wanted to take the time with filters because it's so key when it comes to listening. It really can change everything. So I'd love to hear, you know, what are you hearing so far? What feels important here to you? What are you starting to notice when it comes to filters? Or what questions do you have for me? Star two. Love to hear from one or two of you, even just take away like what feels really important to you about what we've been saying. All right, who is this? 5473 are your last numbers.
Hi, it's Siobhan.
Hi, Siobhan.
Hi. So here's what came up for me. How do you handle when a client has really rigid biases and you know, you're trying to, you know what I mean? Like, certainly I have, I'll be honest with you, like, about certain political ideas and stuff, but, you know, it's really hard for me.
Oh, that's definitely, I'm glad you're bringing that into the conversation, political.
Yeah.
Definitely important one.
It's big.
Yeah, when you say how do you handle it, tell me a little bit more what you mean by that.
Well, when somebody is just really kind of refusing to even, I don't know, look at it or, you know, I already know about that or I don't want to talk about that or do you know what I'm saying? Just like something comes up and they're like, oh, you know, we don't need to talk about that kind of thing. But to me, it all certainly relates to how they're functioning in their life. You know what I mean? It's just digging deeper in terms of behaviors and core beliefs and all of that. So, you know, how they're responding to people if they're super rigid in their thinking.
Yeah, that's a great question. So when that comes up, first thing is we want to check our own filter, right, to make sure that it's not our filter thinking. It's important for them, right, to take a closer look. So that's number one. And I just say that I normally wouldn't even answer that as the first thing, but because you brought up the political thing, like, you know, I'm just thinking even sometimes in my mind I forget to check that particular filter. Right? It's like we can all do that, right? And then we lose the empathy and all of that. So first thing, always is to check our own filter to make sure that it is an important thing to look at. And also, when we check our filter, then it goes back to energetics too. We get more grounded and then we have more wherewithal to even just know how to proceed, what energy to bring, you know, how to move things forward. And then from there, you know, a client can only be coached if they're willing to be coached. That's an important energetic piece to always remember. But the way that you just so eloquently described it, you know, you said it like sometimes these aren't the exact words you used, but basically to paraphrase, sometimes we come up against issues and difficulties in our lives because we have certain beliefs that we haven't been willing to look at. I sense that this is why you've been having so much difficulty with your team or with this person, you know, whatever it is. The conversation may not necessarily lead anywhere, but I have a strong sense that we could really start to unpack some important pieces that could help you lead to the outcomes you desire. Would you be willing to look at some of these beliefs together?
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
So, so you just actually want to share, like, whatever's going on in your head. I always say one of the best coaching principles, you know, that I've, like, kind of developed in my years is always connect the dots. And what I mean by that is whatever you're thinking in your head, so long as it's unchecked, is something that you probably want to, like, share with your client so that they can connect the dots and you can get them to where you're at and what you're thinking. Now, Like I said, there's some people that aren't coachable and they're just not going to want to look at things.
Right.
And then there are going to be some other clients that are coachable, but they're in a resistance archetype. And those you want to handle a little bit differently. We're going to get to that resistance archetype module in a while, but those are for the, you know, those types. But is this helpful?
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's a great question. All right. Let's see. Who is this? 4372 are your last numbers.
Hi, Joanna. This is Swati. Can you hear me?
I can't hear you that well.
Okay. Is this better?
Yes, Swati. I'm
speaking.
Oh, so much better. Yes, now I can hear you.
Okay. Thanks for this session. Basically what I'm understanding is that we want to come into any interaction as clean slate as possible and not bring in any kind of judgment. That was the big takeaway I took away from this. And also that I could see some of the situations I've been going through in recent weeks. One of my own filters is that I tend to take personal responsibility very seriously, and I will go the extra mile to do things. And when I see someone getting a resource but not using it fully, then that triggers me. And in some cases where the client might just need, I had this come up recently where I felt like they needed extra support, but then I started to resent it. And going back to the coaching, the, you know, the what based on the who, I realized that it was not that she was not taking responsibility. She's just in a situation in life where she needs extra support. And if I can provide the support, it really strengthens the container and all that energetics that we talked about.
Yes, so, I love that example. I'm so glad that you're sharing it. It's such a beautiful, like exactly perfect example of everything that I'm talking about, the checking of the filters, and then the understanding your client's filter, and then moving into that empathy and really seeing, putting yourself in that client's shoes. Really nice.
And it changed my outlook. And I'm looking at this now as an opportunity to create something new that, you know, I'm helping her out with some situation, but I can also apply that in other cases. So just reframing that and looking at it in a different way has shifted my outlook.
Oh, thank you. Perfect. Yeah, you're welcome. It's such a great example. Thank you for bringing it forward. Okay, so let's continue going here because we still have quite a bit to look at today. What we're going to be looking at next is what to listen for. So our entire call last week and then including the filters is really more about like different listening principles so that you can listen really well and listen masterfully. And where I want to look next is what to listen for. So there's lots of things to listen for. Let me start out by saying that. And I've kind of divided the most important things to be listening for, I've kind of divided it into three categories of things. Sometimes when I share the category titles, people in Sacred Depth get it and they resonate with the titles right away. Sometimes they don't totally get it. If the category titles don't resonate with you, don't worry. You can just think of this as like a long list of what to look for. But if the different categories help you organize it in your mind better, then go for it. So the first category, I'm calling your client's presence. So you want to list, there are lots of different things that will help you listen and understand about your client's presence. So, for example, one of the things in this category is you want to be listening for your client's emotional state. We oftentimes listen to the what, like what happened, you know, the details that a client is telling us about a particular situation. But what we also want to listen to is, what is their emotional state? So why is knowing a client's emotional state so important? Well, because let's say the what of the situation is, you know, the what they're sharing with us is, again, I'm using lots of different business coaching examples here since that's my filter. So let's say the client says, I didn't fill my program. I had a program that I wanted to fill and it didn't get filled. So if we're not listening for the emotional state of the client, we could mishear what is going on here. The client could be totally upset that they didn't fill the program, or they could be totally fine with it and just looking for learning for next time, right? Now, here's another one of those examples where you want to check your own filter and your own bias. Because if you just think it's awful and terrible if a program is marketed and doesn't get totally filled, then remember, energy follows energy. All of these different foundational principles kind of work together, right? Energy follows energy. We're going to bring that energy of, ugh, it didn't go so well, into the conversation, and we're not going to necessarily be hearing for where the client is at. Right? So, you know, for example, when I'm coaching someone, let's say somebody says, I want to, you know, fill a group program and I want 40 people in it. Well, in my book, if someone fills a program, not fully, but let's say 3/4 full, so let's say that person got, you know, brought 30 people into the program. Again, it depends on the situation, but generally speaking, that to me, that's still a win. So first of all, I need to check that filter, but also I need to understand that my client might not think that that's a win. So my listening for their emotional state is going to allow me to know how to navigate. Here's another example of why it's important to listen to a client's emotional state. Let's say I've got a client who comes to a session and she says that she wants to talk about a strategy or find solutions to, you know, let's say it's a business thing. If you're working with health, it can be a health thing. If you're working with a relationship, it can be a relationship thing, whatever it is. But let's say someone comes in and they tell me they want to, you know, create a strategy for marketing program, whatever it is. I need to first listen to their emotional state, right? Because if I hear that they're saying, okay, they want to talk strategy, but that their emotional state is scattered or sad or angry, that needs to be addressed first before we can just start looking at a strategy, right? We need to really listen for the emotional states, which, by the way, is one of the reasons why I don't suggest doing a ton of coaching over email or text. So sometimes our clients need things in between sessions, and I email with clients a lot in between sessions, and, you know, but we email mostly about strategy, or if I can really hear the emotional state through the email and I feel like I know that client well, I know her filters, then I'll coach the emotional things via email. But as we all know, we've all come to rely on technology a little bit too much, and it's really hard to fully hear somebody's emotional state through technology, even if we're hearing all of the details of the situation correctly. So there are going to be times when a client emails me something and I'm unsure of the emotional piece. I'm going to say, you know, we really need to voice to voice on this. We need to hop on the phone about this. Okay, so you want to listen for the emotional state. Another thing under this first category of client presence that you want to be listening for is that my client engaged with what he's talking about? is my client actually engaged with what he's talking about? So if a client is talking, let's say you're speaking about a relationship, right, a romantic relationship, and you hear your client talking and she's gone on a couple dates with somebody and she's thinking about going on some more, you know, is your client actually engaged? Like, is she excited? That's going to help you know what questions to ask and where to lead her. When I'm working with a client, when they tell me about a new idea for a program or a new direction they want to go in their business or something they may want to apply for, I'm always listening to see, is she actually engaged in what she's talking about? If not, then this thing may not be aligned for her. I want to ask some more questions about it first to understand. Another thing you want to listen for under this category of client presence is silence. Now, silence is neither good nor bad, though I can tell you over many years of coaching, I've come to realize most of the time it's good, because when someone is silent for a little bit, it means the wheels are turning. It means that they're thinking, right, about something. It's not because they're angry. It's usually not because they've shut down, right? But a lot of the time, it's because something has hit them hard in the conversation, and they're taking some moments to really take it in. But you want to listen for silence, because that's telling you something about the client's presence, and you're gonna want to go from there. And, you know, that will help you know where to go from there. You want to listen for pacing. Is the client speaking very fast? Is the client speaking very slow? And what might that mean, if they're speaking faster or if they're speaking slower, right? And that also has to do with what you know their baseline to be. So if I have a client that normally speaks at a slower pace, and then she gets on a session and she's speaking really quickly, I'm going to know that there's something up for her. She may be excited about what she's talking about, but she may also be agitated about something. Right? I'm going to listen for other clues and ask questions, but we want to listen to the pacing. If a client starts to speak more slowly about something, and I almost get this sense that there's more focus, then I know that what they're saying is maybe even more important. Or I know that they're like really thinking it through as they're saying. I know that they're being present with it. Similar to pacing, we want to listen to tone. All the same things I said about pacing apply for tone. If a client is usually, you know, has a low tone, is usually pretty quiet and they're speaking really loud, right? That's going to give us a clue that there's something different going on. We want to pay more attention to what's going on with this client situation. Same way the other way around. If they're usually pretty loud, but they're speaking very lightly, we may not know why yet. We're going to want to ask questions, but we know that we want to listen even more carefully then, because there's something up. In a way, right? So anytime that we hear something in a client's voice or engagement that is different from what we know their essential nature to be, then it is a listening clue, and we want to pay more attention to that. So in order to know when something is different than a client's essential nature, we also want to always be listening for the client's essential nature. We want to take note of that, just like we want to take note of their filters when we can. We want to know, like, is this person generally calm about things? Does this person generally go into resistance a lot? Is this person a very passionate person? Is this person, you know, someone who usually just is okay with boundaries. She kind of, you know, is like easygoing, let's say, right? We want to know this, number one, to know it. It's important. So it helps us know how to navigate and work with this client. And it helps us, you know, it's about understanding because our filters may be different, right? But it gives us so much information to know the essential nature. That will help us know how to hold the client and how to lead them. But the other reason why it's important to know a client's essential nature is if because a client shows up for a session or in the middle of a session and they're presenting differently than what you know their essential nature to be, then you know that something, it's a moment to listen more closely and, you know, to kind of hear for what's going on for them. You don't want to just take it at status quo and coach them the way you normally would. You want to be able to use that information to everybody's advantage. The other piece, the last piece in this category, client presence that you want to listen for, is how connected does the client feel to you as the coach? We want to be aware of, you know, my client, let's say your client, normally you know that they feel very connected to you. They're in it, right? They're like fully present in the relationship. You want to listen if there's a particular session where they don't feel connected, as connected to you as the coach. Now, you want to check your filter on that because you just may have your own triggers going on or bad day or, you know, whatever, beliefs, whatever it is for you. But if you've checked your filter and you still feel no, she just doesn't feel as connected. Like, we don't feel as connected and on the same page as we usually do. Or she doesn't seem as receptive as she usually does to, you know, this conversation. That's something that you're going to want to noodle into. And you know, again, when we get to creating awareness, we'll look at how to do all of these things. But, we're, you know, that's a place you don't want to just override that. That is a very important listening clue. All right, next category of clues. I call them apparent clues. And again, if that doesn't work for you, the categories, just throw them out. To me, they make sense. So apparent clues are basically you want to be listening for things that are apparent. So, for example, is there in a particular session, whatever a client is saying about their goals and commitments, is that a match with what they've told you their goals and commitments are? Or is there a mismatch there? Is there a mismatch between what their behavior is and what they say their goals and their commitments are, right? That's a real apparent clue. If there's a mismatch between behavior and what they say their goals and commitments are. So, for example, let's say they say, I want to run a marathon by next November, right? But they're not really doing anything. It's like 3 months in, they're not doing much. That's a mismatch between their behavior and their goals and their commitments. Another clue, apparent clue that you want to be listening for is, what is motivating my client? What is the motivation here? So I'll give you an example from my own coaching practice. When I have a client that, let me think of an example here. Maybe I have a client who all of a sudden wants to switch gears, right? Like in their branding, for example. I want to listen for what's motivating the desire to switch gears. Is this client being motivated to change their branding because they feel an alignment with a new direction? Because they really feel like the old branding just doesn't fit them anymore. It's stale with who they are now. Or is what's motivating this desire to change maybe some fear, right? Fear that, you know, the last outreach they did didn't work as well as they wanted, and so quick, you know, that fear is motivating them to want to change branding, right? Or if I am talking to a client and they say, you know, I really should, this is how I think I should handle things with this team member of mine. I want to look for what's motivating them. Are they motivated to want to handle in that particular way because it's aligned for them? Or is it because of somebody else's belief, right, that kind of got instilled in them? What's motivating the client? If they want to embark on something new, are they motivated by excitement or is it something else? Or are they being motivated? A lot of times it's like, are they being motivated by their partner, right? This isn't really right for them, but they're being motivated by another person's needs. Another apparent clue that we want to listen for are our clients' strengths. our client's strengths. This is so important for so many reasons, and we're going to talk really deeply about this in our Creating Awareness module. But for now, what I want to say is you want to listen. Like, if you are working with someone on relationships, you want to listen for their strengths. Is this someone who's a great communicator? Is this someone who is willing to, who is very articulate? Is this someone who, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, what are other strengths in relationships? Is this someone who's resilient? The reason why you want to listen for your client's strengths, number one, is it's going to help you strategize with them, like how to get what they want. The other reason why it's so important is we oftentimes really want to remind our clients of their strengths. Here's an example from my own practice. You know, if I know that a particular client is really good, they have a strength in writing, then when we look at ways for them to become more visible, I'm going to suggest writing. You know, we'll look at other things, but, you know, I'm going to say, like, I know writing is a strength of yours. Let's look at this, that, and the other thing, right? Or if I am working with a client and I know one of their strengths is they're really good on video, and that's a filter I have to check because I hate video, right? But I, like, this person is just really good. They're amazing on video. That's great information for the strategy. If you're a health coach and you know that one of your client's strengths is that if they have a plan, they're really good at keeping it, that's going to inform how you strategize together and also how you proceed with them. What are your client's strengths? Next thing to look for, what are the obstacles that normally come up for clients, right? If you know that there are certain obstacles, it's going to help you cut through so much time in sessions because you'll have that in consideration, right? So if I know that one of my clients' obstacles, for example, is that they don't like video, there's going to be a certain moment where if it's right for them, I'm going to help them stretch and overcome a fear, right, so that they can do a video. But if they need to, like, get something done and get, you know, like, bring it, do the visibility piece in the next few days, let's say something happened, and you know, it's like that, I'm not going to go to video first because I know that it's an obstacle for them, right? So knowing what their obstacles are. Such an important thing to listen for. We want another apparent clue is to listen for their beliefs. What are their beliefs? The more, and this goes back to filters too, right? But the more that we can understand our clients' belief systems, then the better position we're in as coaches to help them work with those belief systems when need be, or to leverage that belief system when need be, right? So we want to be aware of what are their beliefs. Even if it's something that's not necessarily relevant for this session, the session that we hear the belief on, we kind of want to store that for future sessions, right? We want to understand those things. Another apparent clue that we want to listen for are what are their wins and their celebrations. We're going to look at celebrations a lot more deeply in a few short weeks. But, what are the things that they're feeling really good about that they consider wins? We want to listen for that because we can leverage that information. And then, as I said before, who's influencing the client? Who are they listening to or modeling themselves off of? So it's a really important clue to listen for. And not always one that is like they're modeling themselves off of X person and it's bad, but it's just another piece of deep listening that we want to have in our stable. All right. And then the third category of things that you want to listen for, I call non-apparent clues. So these are the things, the apparent clues are more like these facts that we want to listen for. Non-apparent clues are maybe not necessarily as apparent right away. So we want to listen for if something seems misplaced with the rest of the conversation. So for example, let's say a client is speaking about their partner and they're speaking about how wonderful their partner is and all the great things, you know, this and that, but then they make like an offhanded comment that's just mismatched with the rest of the conversation about how they really hate blah about their partner, and then they, you know, they continue on with all the other things. That's an important clue, right? That we may want to flag, that we may want to look more deeper into, that we may want to say to our client, I really hear that things are so great with Bob, you know, whatever their partner's name is, blah, 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 all the things. But, you know, tell me if I'm getting this right. I also caught that it makes you really angry when blah, 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 right? So we want to listen for that. We want to listen for what the client isn't saying, for what the client isn't saying. So, for example, let's say that we know our client has a brother, right? And we're coaching this client. There's been a big family emergency. my mind is focused on this because I've just been in a hospital the last few days with my mom. Let's say there was a hospital situation, right? And there was a family emergency and your client was in the hospital and you're having a session because they just kind of need to unpack the stress from that whole situation and they need to understand how to move forward, you know, certain strategies they need or how to help the ill parent, you know, whatever it is, right? And let's say you're listening to the conversation and you notice that this person is mentioning how their father was involved and maybe they have a sister and they're talking about their sister, but they're just not mentioning the brother at all, right? That's the client hasn't said anything about the brother, but that may be a clue, right, that something was off there. You may want to ask at some point, well, where was your brother, right? So you want to listen for what are the things that the client isn't saying. All right. As I said before, you want to listen to inconsistencies between who you know your client to be and then what they're saying. Another non-apparent clue, anytime a client repeats something, that's something to pay more attention to, right? It's like, that's a fact that they've emphasized. We probably want to look more deeply at that. We want to listen for what the client is in process of becoming aware of. What is the client in process of becoming aware of? And sometimes it's like we have to really listen to hear these things. But if we can kind of noodle in and say like, oh, she's really becoming aware of the fact that she's ready to leave her job or she's ready to leave her partner, right? Whatever the thing is. Whatever they're in evolution with, then we know that's something that we can work with a little bit more. We might end up as coaches bringing awareness to that fact. Even though the client hasn't outright said it, she doesn't even realize she's aware of it yet, right? But you see is that she is becoming more aware of this so that we can start to really maneuver things to help them get to where they want to go if we can listen for what they're becoming more aware of. You want to also listen for the client's inner voice. So what does that mean? How do we listen for a client's inner voice? We're not in their head, right? We're listening to their outer voice, what they're sharing with us. But if we can listen to their inner voice, it will give us some clues, deeper clues as to who they are and also as to what they're not saying. So, for example, the way that a client phrases certain questions can tell you a lot about how much they judge themselves. So, for example, let's say a client didn't reach a goal. And the question they ask you, they say, like, I'm really upset I didn't reach this goal. How can I do it next time? Well, that's very different than if a client didn't reach a goal and they say, you know, I'm really upset I didn't reach this goal. What am I doing wrong? Or what's wrong with me, right? It tells us so much about how this client speaks to themselves and so much about how active their inner judge is. And that's important information for us because we may need to first, you know, for example, work with them on their inner judge before we can even get to solutions on how to do it better next time because they're stuck beating themselves up. So we want to listen for that inner voice because sometimes a client isn't going to consciously let you know, right, what's going on in their head. And there's plenty of times where we can't actually know what's going on in their heads. We're not mind readers, but I've just really learned through the years that if we can, you know, listen to how they ask questions or how they state things, it may not be what they're apparently stating, but we can get the non-apparent clues in there as we can get more in their head. We can understand more how they're treating themselves or how they're thinking about another person, right? Let's say they get into an argument with a friend and they say, oh, you know, she really upset me so much. I need some help knowing how to approach her now, or I need some, you know, how am I going to communicate with her from now on? Well, that's very different than she says, oh, you know, it was so upsetting to get into that fight with this friend. She, you know, like, why is she so boneheaded? Why is she blah, 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 you know, whatever thing. That will tell us a lot. There's a difference in the inner voice there, and that will help us know how to navigate. Are there certain beliefs that we need to look at first before strategizing? Do we have to help the client recenter her energy first and get more grounded? So we want to listen for those inner voice pieces. As I said last week, we always want to listen to our own intuition, our own inner wisdom and hunches. All right, so on your next few client sessions, if you've got clients, if not, just in your conversations with others, I want you to play a little game with yourself. So this is one piece of homework. You're going to have some, like I said, some worksheets to look through, but I also want you to play this game. So over your next few client sessions or just in conversations with anyone over this week, I want you to see how many things that you can listen for. And after a conversation, like after a client call or after a conversation with a friend, whatever it is, if you have a few minutes, I want you to jot down all the things that you heard from all of these three major categories that I was speaking about. What are the things that you heard? The more that you can do this intentionally, you know, it might sound to you right now like, oh my gosh, this is so much work to listen for all these things. And here's the thing, the more that you can just practice, and it doesn't have to even be a lot of practice necessarily, but we're going to do practicing next week together. The more that you can practice over the next few weeks, then eventually you're not going to have to think about it as much. It's going to come so organically and naturally to you. Okay, so that being said, a couple things as we wrap for today. Number one, we've got, like I said, we have our practicum next week. Our practicums are some of my most favorite. They're all my favorite calls, but our practicums are some of my most favorite. It's when together we're going to apply everything that we've learned so far in our first three classes, particularly our last two listening classes, and we're going to do listening together. We're going to hear what you're listening. You're going to get feedback from me. It's a very participatory call. I don't talk that much. You guys speak. We're going to have sample clients. It's really fun, and there's so much learning and integration that happens on those practicums. So we've got that next week. You've got your worksheets. You've got your other piece of homework that I just gave you to see how many things you can listen for. And if you're working with a coaching partner, hopefully by now you've connected and you've found a good regular time to meet, you'll do your first session this week or over the next 2 weeks, because we're actually not meeting next week. I'm going to be leading a retreat. And so hopefully by now you got the instructions on how to move through the buddy calls. Even if you haven't coached before, this is it. We're going to start coaching, right? You can use the instructions on how to do it. You back to containers. You always just want to start with a question of, what is it that you would like to receive today? What is it that you would like to walk away from this session with, right? Whatever it is, do your coaching to your best of your ability. And then remember, you want to close the container by asking about takeaways. So what are you taking from our session today? What feels really important from everything that we spoke about, right? So you want to do that. And in every week when you do your coaching partner call, I'm going to ask you to focus on something different, even though it's always going to be that regular outline that I just outlined for you. You know, what do you want to get? What are you taking away? Coach in between. But this week, I want you to pay special attention to, of course, listening. I want you to check your listening filters, maybe reread through the listening foundations before you have your call. I want you to see how many things you can listen for. And, you know, as you got in your instructions with the partner calls, after each of the coaching sessions, before you switch partners, you're going to want to speak about how did it go, what worked well, what didn't work well. So I want you to discuss all that. But in particular, what I want you to discuss with your partner after the session that you do is talk about the filters that you noticed. Talk about your own filters as the coach that you noticed in the conversation. And then also talk about the filters that you sense your client has, right? It's just such a great way to practice with with checking the filters. All right. We have a couple minutes left, and I would love for you, first of all, to write down your takeaways from this call, or your top takeaway for now, right? So we're doing this container style. Classes need containers, just like your one-on-one coaching sessions. So it's just great for your integration of learning to write down a takeaway. What's your big takeaway from this call? And, of course, I also want you to post it on Facebook, but write it down for now. What's your big takeaway from today's call? What's the thing that feels most important and impactful for you? And then I'd love to open up for either to hear some of your takeaways, some of your reflections, or any questions that you have for me before we wrap for today. So star two. All right, who is this? Your name isn't coming up. It just says anonymous. And you might be calling from the internet. Who's
Hello?
Up?
Oh.
Hi.
Hi, it's Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, how's it going? I wasn't sure if it was working there. Joanna, I think we spoke a little bit this weekend. I was leading a retreat, and what came up regarding biases is a big question I had for you. What do you do, or how would you go about facilitating when biases are affecting one of your clients' experiences in a group setting?
Yeah, it's such a great question. So tell me if I'm remembering this correctly,
yeah.
From, our Facebook messages, but it sounded like one of the people in your workshop felt like somebody else was sort of ignoring her and not being as active or present with her, and she got insulted about that.
Yeah, and when I dug deeper with her, there was also this feeling as though two of the women were being bullies, because when she was in high school, there was two women who appeared like they did, and they were bullies to her. So it kind of became this big cloud of being triggered back to her high school days. So when she spoke and shared, and when not everyone in the room acknowledged what she had shared the way she had wished they had, she became triggered and felt as though she wasn't heard, and it kind of tarnished her experience in that moment.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. So first of all, you did such a great job. You did exactly what I would have done in terms of helping her see her own filters and her own bias, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like she was looking through a certain kind of lens. Because I remember you told me in the email you didn't actually think that she was being ignored, right?
So no, yeah, the whole vibe was.
Yeah, so you actually really helped her check her own lens and her own bias, which is amazing. Like, that's so much of what we're talking about today. So right on with that. Like, yes, what you did to help her see is exactly what you would want to do. And then from there, you know, what you might want to do, depending on how the situation goes, is like, so now I would say something like, you know, I think this is coming up now as an adult because you've held on to this belief for so long and you're actually ready to shift it. It's coming into your consciousness because there's a new thing that's emerging here. There's a transformation is ready to happen. So what's a new belief that you would like to believe when someone isn't paying as much attention to you as you would like?
Oh, I like that.
Right?
What's
and
a new
she,
belief? Yeah.
Yeah, and so that can help her move to that new place. And then you can say, so if you were to fully believe this new belief, what's something that you would have done differently in this situation? And then she may strategize from there, oh, you know, I may have gone up to X person during break and, you know, talked to them more because I just wanted to engage with them or, you know, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that could really help. But you did such an excellent, excellent job. And what I would just say is, and this is more into like how to leading groups, what I'm going to say next, and I've got a whole other program for that, but I'll just drop it here right now because it may be helpful for you and everyone else. If you notice, like, that happens again with someone else, that may be a common filter for the people that you attract, right?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then at the beginning of a workshop, you just want to create awareness around it. You may say, you know, we share a lot in this workshop. It's very participatory. And I know that everyone listens really intently. Some people may get more of a response to their shares. Some people may get less, but don't get insulted if some of your shares get less of a response. It may just mean that people are deep in thought about what you said. Right? So you just want to pre-qualify it. If you come to see that that's a common filter. Is that helpful?
Yeah. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You're welcome and
good.
Really well done with how you worked
thank
with that
you.
Client.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, great. Let's see, who is this? 6004.
Hello?
Hi,
can you hear
this?
Me?
I can. I'm
Suzanne. Hi, Joanna.
Oh, hi, Suzanne.
So
how
my
are
question...
you?
Good, thank you. My question was, back when you were talking about listening for their emotional state, like what... is beyond what they're saying. So I work with people in weight loss. Like when we have a session, like, and I ask them like, what do you want to receive today? Or what do you want to work on today? A lot of people, it's like their exercise. And I want to have a plan and I want to like, you know, exercise this many times per week. But when like I really hear them, they're tired. You know, and like a stressed, tired body, putting that on top of whatever it is they're already doing, it's just, yeah, it's not going to work. So then when we talk about like sleep and nighttime routines, and we might have a bit of a laugh because I work mainly with mothers and I'm a mother and we've got young kids, so we have a bedtime routine for our children, for ourselves, we tend to, you know, put ourselves last. So we have this big conversation and I think they get it, but then they're like, so how many times should I exercise? So it comes back to, like, okay, yeah, I get that I need rest and look after myself, but, like, you know, how do I exercise? So sometimes I find it hard to coach with you need to do, like, you need to look after you emotionally. Like, I feel like I'm not meeting the needs from what they want from the session, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it's such a great question. So first of all, you're doing amazing listening skills, right? Because another coach may not even be catching this emotional state, physical state, right? They're like saying that they want one thing, but really what you're hearing underneath is that they're so tired. So you're already doing an amazing listening job. I really want to acknowledge you for that. And it's great that you're having a conversation with them. So, but you know, sometimes it'll be enough to just create awareness, which I hear you're doing a bit. You're saying to them, you know, I hear that you want to exercise. I want to share with you. I'm also hearing that you're tired, you know, and so, and we'll, again, we're going to go into how to create awareness in effective ways. So the first thing that you want to do is create awareness around the tiredness that you're hearing, right? Because again, like I said, connect the dots. Whatever you're thinking in your head, usually it's important for the client to know that. So you want to create awareness around what you're seeing, what you're hearing. And sometimes that may just be enough to get someone off the topic. But what I hear you saying is like you're doing some of that, and they're still on it. So after you've created awareness effectively, if they're still wanting, and you've looked at the beliefs and why, even though they're tired, they want to exercise, you know, there's lots of different ways to noodle in there. But if they still want to, what I'd say is then it's a little bit of a strategizing piece. And you may say to them, okay, so, you know, here's how we're going to move forward. We want to get you to be able to exercise, I'm speaking this up, 5 times a week, blah, 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 whatever it is. That's going to be phase three. Phase one, what we're going to do is 2 things at the same time. We're going to start helping you take deeper care of yourself so that you're not more tired. And we're going to start with the next baby step of exercising, which is just once a week. I don't know. I'm not a health coach, so I don't know what the baby step would be. But you want to kind of lay out the strategy for them, help them see that they're eventually going to get to whatever this exercising queen place that they want to be, but that it needs to be in 3 phases, and here's what's happening in the next phase. How do you
know that's really
like
good?
That
thank you.
Work?
The phase
awesome. Yeah, I'd love
works.
To hear
it's
how
like,
that.
It's not like I haven't heard that you want to exercise, but not like as in we're going to get to that, because I think sometimes, yeah, that's it. It's like, you know, they think they might feel that I haven't heard them. And it's like, I have, but like, let's start. Yeah, I love that. Thank you.
That's right. Yeah, and that's exactly why I was saying, in order to help them feel seen and heard, you know, you want to say, we're getting you there, right? But these are the steps. These are where we're going to start now. So they can feel that they're being
awesome.
Seen and heard, but yeah, awesome. Okay, good. Let us know how that goes.
I will.
All right,
thank you.
Everybody, you're welcome. Great call today. Please remember to share more takeaways in the Facebook group. Like I said, they're great for me to help track where you guys are at. And also, I know you learn a lot from your takeaways. It also helps you integrate more when you post publicly. You take the time to write it and you post it. It will help you integrate your takeaways more. Enjoy doing your homework. Enjoy your first buddy sessions, coaching partner sessions. If you have any cues, let me know. Post them in the Facebook group. And I will see you in 2 weeks for our listening practicum. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.